Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. I decided to do this show today in the afternoon on my time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because people are at work that want to get on the show earlier, and so I schedule it. I'm in New York City. It's crummy out. It's going to pour later on. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just sitting here in my home and doing the show. And so let's tell you about what's going on at the show. I was supposed to take a trip to Seneca Falls, and due to a problem with my kitty, I did not go. So I'm having those people from Seneca Falls call in and talk, because this is still Women's Herstory Month. In other words, not his story, but her story. So it's Women's Herstory Month, and Seneca Falls is home to both the Women's Hall of Fame and Women's Rights National Park. And so we're going to have someone come on from the Women's Hall of Fame. Chris will call in from the Women's Hall of Fame, and I believe that Lee will call in from the Women's Rights National Park. Now, Seneca Falls, but it could be known as Bedford Falls as well, because it's purported to be that Seneca Falls was really the Bedford Falls of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And I did go, I had a brief tour of the area, and you know, it does look like it. And so we're going to have somebody come on, Bonnie Vaughn will come on, and she's going to tell us about why this is a wonderful life setting and what they do. Just a hint that every Christmas, the actress who plays Zuzu, that was the youngest daughter, goes up there to celebrate, but there's more to come. But first, we're going to have Deborah Whiting of Red Newt Restaurant. It's a restaurant, and I believe that's the restaurant itself, and it's a winery. And there's this whole thing going on about local food, and she part of this whole thing using local foods in the area. So that's what we got for today. Well, hopefully, anyway. I'm going in a positive direction. But, you know, you just never know. So, in the meantime, I have to do it. You know, it's that commercial because of what I can't have right now. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, They are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Yes. You go to www.brownies.com. Well, all right. Nutrisystem update. Well, I'm not going to talk about the weight loss yet, because I really don't want to talk about the weight loss until I've lost, like, a lot of weight to talk about the weight loss. I mean, the thing is, and it could be because it's winter and the clothes I wear, et cetera, that no one has noticed that I lost weight. And I hate that part. But then again, unless someone is, you know, drastically loses, I really can't tell. And the problem with me is that I'm watching The Biggest Loser and I'm going, I don't know why I can't lose 15 pounds in a week, you know. But then again, I'm not doing the kind of exercises that they're doing, and that's probably what I need to be doing. So I'm going to do treadmill today. I'm going to just have to gear myself. But what I wanted to get into regarding the chocolate, I've been trying some of the newer foods that Nutrisystem has put out. And I had, it was a chocolate, a microwave, yeah, it was really good. Well, it wasn't good, but it's a microwavable chocolate cake, and it's supposed to be the kind of, like, you know, you get the that molten milled kind of thing, you know, whatever. And I don't have a microwave. So I experimented by putting it in my New Wave oven. And, well, I mean, it worked, meaning it cooked it up and whatever. But I think I did it too long. And the New Wave oven is great because it was only like, I think I did 10 minutes, and I didn't realize that 10 minutes would be too much. So I tried it, but taste-wise, I don't know. I didn't really like it that much. They have a chocolate pound cake, which I have to say I enjoyed much more than the pound cake. But there are a couple other things that, but if you go to my blog site, I've been blogging about it, blog. I've been blogging about this. So that's what's going on. In the meantime, I'm looking. This some interesting things have been coming up. One of them is I'm going to see if I can try to get this guy, Wild Man Steve Brill. He was on the Chopping Block versus Chopped, you know, whatever, Chop Suey, and he does tours here in New York where he. Meaning that we go to, let's say, a park, and you can pick things that grow wild that you can eat. I got one park across the street from my house, and I want to see. I'll go on a tour at some point, probably not to this one, because I understand that the next one here at the park across the street from me is on April 25th, which is the home opening game of the New York Sharks. Now, I'm not going to be able to miss that. Besides, I'm doing a book signing there that day and helping with a fundraiser or with a silent auction. Yes. So if you happen to come to the game and you want to participate, we're going to tape your mouth. So that's what's happening, but I will have Wild Man Steve at another time. Then I also got some interesting information of, let's see, with this guy, Midori, M-E-D-U-R-I, World Delights, and they're in Oregon, and they make dried fruit. I'm going to be getting some and doing a taste test on the dried fruit and we'll have him on the air. Hopefully I can get him on next week. The reason I did this is when I had gotten a brochure, well, you know how you get those catalogs in the mail, you know, and especially with the food ones. And to me, most of them are a ripoff. I mean, really, you know, whatever. Anyway. And they promise, you know, this isn't the best, and all that other stuff. And so I looked at this, and what I noticed was, this food looks good. Looks like something I would really like to try. And so I ordered it, and I think I'll get it tomorrow. I was, so I'll do that taste test while I'm on the air on the next show, hopefully. So, I'm waiting for my caller, which is Deborah Whiting said she wanted the first spot on here. And let's see. So while I'm waiting for her to call in, you know, I always get these emails. Yeah, I don't know if you got this one. Let me get it. All right. This is a little crass, but you know, who cares? Subject to all staff. Due to the current financial situation caused by the slowdown of economy in the country, management has decided to implement a scheme to put workers of 40 years of age on early retirement. This scheme will be known as RAPE, which stands for Retire Aged People Early. Persons selected to be RAPED can apply to management to be eligible for the SHAFT scheme, which stands for Special Help After Forced Termination. Persons who have been raped or shafted will be reviewed under the SCREW scheme, which is scheme covering retired early workers. A person may be raped once, shafted twice, and screwed as many times as management deems appropriate. Persons who have been raped can only get AIDS, which is additional income for dependents or spouses, or herpes, half earnings for retired personnel early severance. Obviously, persons who have AIDS or herpes will not be shafted or screwed any further by management. Persons staying on will receive as much shit, special high-intensity training, as possible. Management has always prided itself on the amount of shit it gives employees. Should you feel that you do not receive enough shit, please bring it to the attention of the supervisor. They have been trained to give you all the shit you can handle. Have a good day. I like that one. I had something similar about that, about dying on the job. You can't, about holidays, you know, that taking off on no sick days. And if you die, you know, you still have to come to work. I'll have to find that someplace. So that was one that I got. Let's see. And I'm looking. That's something to watch. Let's see. I usually have some funny stuff. Everybody's sending me funny stuff. Oh, I got today. I got to do it. I'm going to do a taste test. Well, this another one. I won't do it on the air because I'll get drunk. I got a sample of this will probably be. Maybe I'll do this next. Well, I'll combine having dried fruit with vodka, I guess, because I got a sample of vodka called Cold River. They're from Maine, and the thing with them about them is that it's supposed to be the only vodka made from potatoes in the country, which I guess means that it's wheat-free. And we're going to discuss that. And then I have the other one, and I have 360 vodka. And that's what I'm going to, taste it against. Like, does it make a difference in taste as to whether you have a potato vodka or a, I guess, wheat or however, whatever the hell they do with it, vodka. So that's what I'm also going to do. Now, why do I get the feeling, and this does happen, I get the feeling that she thinks I'm calling her, but what is this? Okay. here's one. It's Florida road sign. It says, Northerners have snow and ice to contend with, but that does not move all by itself. There's a sign that says, the Florida sign says, hikers and bikers move to the side of the road when a vehicle approaches. And what's there is a whole bunch of alligators on the side of the road. I guess they're trying to, yeah, all right. That's a little nerve-wracking. All right. Well, okay, she still hasn't called it. I know there was some other stuff that I got. Let's see. Let's go here. Our friend Wayne usually sends me some stuff, and Barbara sends me funny shit. So, in the meantime, I went to... Oh, wait, let's see. You think your job's... Oh, that's... Okay, I saw that one. This one says, think your job sucks, and it's a YouTube thing, so I can't do that. Okay, here's one. It says, gotta love old people. Let's see what this one is. This is also from Wayne. 86-year-old lady's letter to bank. Shown below is an actual letter that was sent to a bank by an 86-year-old woman. The bank manager thought it amusing enough to have it published in the New York Times. I don't know if it was, but here it says. Dear sir, I am writing to thank you for bouncing my check with which I endeavored to pay my plumber last month. By my calculations, 3 nanoseconds must have elapsed between his presenting the check and the arrival in my account of the funds needed to honor it. I refer, of course, to the automatic monthly deposit of my entire pension, an arrangement which, I admit, has been in place for only 8 years. You are to be commended for seizing that brief window of opportunity and also for debiting my account $30 by way of penalty for the inconvenience caused to your bank. My thankfulness springs from the manner in which this incident has caused me to rethink my errant financial ways. I notice that whereas I personally answer your telephone calls and letters when I try to contact you, I am confronted by the impersonal, overcharging, pre-recorded, faceless entity which your bank has become. From now on, I, like you, choose only to deal with a flesh and blood person. My mortgage and loan repayments will therefore and hereafter no longer be automatic, but will arrive at your bank by check, addressed personally and confidentially to an employee at your bank whom you must nominate. Be aware that it is not an offense under the Postal Act for any person to open such, that it is an offense under the Postal Act for any other person to open such an envelope. Please find attached an application contact which I require your chosen employee to complete. I am sorry it runs to 8 pages, but in order that I know as much about him or her as your bank knows about me, there's no alternative. Please note that all copies of his or her medical history must be countersigned by a notary public, and the mandatory details of his or her financial must be income, debits, assets, and liabilities must be accompanied by documented proof. In due course, at my convenience, I will issue your employee with a PIN number, which he/she must quote in details with me. I regret that it cannot be shorter than 28 digits. But again, I have modeled it on the number of button presses required of me to access my account balance on your phone bank service. As they say, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Let me level the playing field even further. When you call me, press buttons as follows. Immediately after dialing, press the star button for English. Number one, to make an appointment to see me. Two, to query a missing payment. Three, to transfer the call to my living room in case I am there. Four, to transfer the call to my bedroom in case I am sleeping. Five, to transfer the call to my toilet in case I'm attending to nature. Six, to transfer the call to my mobile phone if I am not at home. And seven, to leave a message on my computer. Password to access my computer is required. Password will be communicated to you at a later date to that authorized contact mentioned earlier. Number eight, to return to the main menu and to listen to options 1 through 7. Number nine, to make a general complaint or inquiry. The contact will then be on hold pending the attention of my automated answering service. This is a second reminder to press star for English. While this may on occasion involve a lengthy wait, uplifting music will play for the duration of the call. Regrettably, but again following your example, I must also levy an establishment fee to cover the setting up of this new arrangement. I wish you a happy, if ever so slightly less prosperous new year, your humble client. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, now, all right. So I was hoping that, because I got an email while this, and I was hoping that the email would have the person who's calling in. I guess not. Okay. Let's see if I have. D B R A. She can't do the 2:45 spot. I'll give her a call. I gave her the 2:05 spot. And, that's going to go 2:30. Nope. Well, I don't know what happened, but I gave her the 2 p.m. spot. Let's see. Going to reply. What happened? You were supposed to call in at 2:05. Okay. I'll send it to her. You know what she's going to come back and say?
I forgot.
I forgot. Okay. Well, hopefully she'll at least email me and say, I forgot, or call in. I always like to make sure that the switchboard is working. Okay, so what I'm going to do, actually, I'm going to get this is going to make too much noise. The heck with it. I was going to get my cell phone and call in and see if it's working. But this will make too much noise. Well, you know what I'll do? I'm going to...
Are you ready for some football?
No, that's not what I'm going to do. That's not what I'm doing. Okay. I could always stop it, so stop some music, but let's see. Let's do this.
It's Chris Moulton with the National Women's Hall of Fame.
Oh, good. I was waiting for... Actually, Deborah Whiting was supposed to call in and say...
I heard that, and that's why I was calling in a few minutes early.
Thank you so much.
I was listening to the show.
Oh, good. So now tell us... Give us all the info on the Women's Hall of Fame, what it is, and how it got there. Yeah, a little bit.
Sure. We were founded in 1969 in Seneca Falls, New York, which is where I'm sitting today. And Seneca Falls is the birthplace of the American women's rights movement. This is the location where in 1848, 300 men and women came together and decided they needed to formally start the work for women to win the right to vote. And, of course, we know that work took decades to complete, and most of those women did not live to cast a vote themselves, but certainly they laid the groundwork for many, many generations that have come since then. We were founded in 1969 by a group of employees from what was Eisenhower College, and it's now the New York Chiropractic College, and they went to New York and visited a place called the Hall of Great Americans, which was a statuary tribute to all the great Americans. And of the 110 great Americans honored there, only 8 of them were women. So those folks returned to Seneca Falls and thought, what better home in which to situate the National Women's Hall of Fame? So what we really do is induct great American women, and then we use their stories to inspire this and future generations through those stories. We've inducted 226 women to date, and we are gearing up to induct 10 more very deserving women October 10th and 11th here in Seneca Falls.
Now, how does how does it work in terms of getting inducted?
That's a great question.
You'll give me a great answer.
I know. You're good with those leading questions. And I think you know a little about this because I think you have nominated somebody before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We rely on the general public to submit to us nominations for deserving women. And you can find that form on our website, which is greatwomen.org. And what we do is fact check the nominations. We check for American citizenship, either by birth or naturalization. We check the facts as they're presented to us. And then we put together a national panel of judges who are experts in a variety of fields, and in any given year includes women that have already been inducted into the Hall of Fame. And they score those nominations for us, and we take a group of those top scorers as that year's inductees. So very often after we've announced our list, we're faced with some disgruntled nominators who call us and let us know how they're feeling about the process.
But they don't get too nasty.
Most of them do not. Most of them don't. Most of them are actually heartbroken, not nasty. We've had a couple nasty ones. But the good news is that we can say we don't make the decision. Some people think we shut ourselves in a back room with a bottle of potato vodka and a dartboard, and there's a puff of white smoke, and out comes the list. But that's not how it works. See, I really was listening.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, there's a local winery here that's making vodka from honey.
Really?
It's called Bee Vodka, B-E-E.
Wait a minute, B-E-E Vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll have to call them and tell them they have to send a sample to me. I'll do this way; I can taste that as well.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's why I was hoping, like, you know, I wanted to get the whole thing about all the culinary.
Mm-hmm.
Area, you know, all the about the local foods, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, to get back to this, I don't expect you to talk about that well.
Good, because I can't talk too knowledgeably about it, but I know just that little bit about it.
But I guess you probably because of the area itself and you're living there, you'll go to local farms and things like that.
Sure.
Yourself. But anyway, so to get back. But to get back to this, so in terms of the inductees, do you like when they're voting? Because I know, like, some are not. You get about I think a certain percentage that are alive, and a certain percentage that have gone to the great sky.
Right. We induct both contemporary women and historic figures.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, 7 of the 10 women we're inducting are actually contemporary women.
Mm-hmm. And when they induct, like, you know, the women and the historic figures,
mm-hmm.
do you get, like, their heirs or whatever coming to the induction?
We do. Actually, our first order of business is always to try and find a living relative or descendant.
Mm.
In many cases, we can't do that. The woman didn't marry. She didn't have children. Her family, you know, especially the more historic the person is, the harder it is to find a descendant or a relative. So in some instances, we may have somebody who represents an organization that woman founded, or perhaps her alma mater or something of that nature.
Right. I mean, you don't want to get a dead relative. That's really...
Yeah, they're not very
trying
good
to get
on the stage.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when I go to a place and they say they have live entertainment, and I say, well, I'm so glad, because it's really boring when you see corpses perform, you know?
Although if you could make that happen, you know, there might be a market.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when there's a skeleton in people's closets, they can get together and bring them up there and, you know, and shove instruments in there on them.
Perfect.
But
and call now, the liberal band.
Now, what the size of the building is not really large, is it?
Our current location is not. We're contained in about 5,000 square feet.
You like this one, this lead, huh?
Yeah, I do. Really are great. But
yes.
We have recently purchased a beautiful old historic knitting mill on the shores of the Seneca Cayuga Canal, which is a spur of the Erie Canal. And we will be transforming that into our new 21st century home. In fact, work began in March on that project. So we're thrilled and excited about that. It's going to be a green building, so we're going to be very thoughtful about how we use the building, what its impact on the environment is, and of course, being a nonprofit, we also want to be cognizant of what our increased energy usage is going to be within that space. But
sure.
It's a gorgeous location. It's the iconic building as you enter Seneca Falls, and the history of that building is really in keeping with the mission of the hall and the women's rights movement. The building was built just 4 years before the 1848 convention, and two of the earliest owners were two of the 32 men that signed the Declaration of Sentiments at that first convention. They were also staunch abolitionists, and as such would not spin cotton in the mill in protest to slavery. So they strictly used wool for fabric.
Right.
And for many, many years, they manufactured socks, Seneca Knit Company socks. And I believe Admiral Byrd and his party were wearing those socks on their historic expedition.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did they bury them in their socks, too?
I don't know if they buried them in their socks. But the socks apparently have a very storied past.
The mill, obviously the mill closed. How long ago was the mill in operation until?
It actually operated until the 1990s.
Oh, so since the 1990s, this building has just been
vacant, except
vacant,
for thousands, probably millions of pigeons.
No shit.
So that, of pigeons and their accessories, I like to say.
Yeah.
So one of our first orders of business, of course, will be relocating those pigeons.
That probably
will not be in an environmentally friendly way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Relocating the pigeons, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would imagine it's not going to be kind of like, come here, pigeon, we're taking this up.
Well, not for me anyway, because I have a bird phobia, so I'll be happy when they decide to move on.
You know, this will be interesting. When this happens, I would love to know. You know, this would be an interesting to just a quick chat about as to how one does that.
Put a video on YouTube or something.
Yeah, we have to do that. Relocating the pigeons. What will bring them to another place? Got to find some old building in another county. You know, and say, wait a minute.
I'm not sure that's how that process works.
Nah, probably not. I have a feeling. Okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But the cleanup itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be there for that.
No.
Oh, goodness gracious. So in other words, the insides of the place, there's like nothing in there then. I mean, there's no, have they taken out any of the historical items, and where did they put them?
The machinery is out. I don't know where it is because it was long gone before we purchased the building.
Uh-huh.
Right now, the buildings are completely vacant.
Right. So it's not like anybody who's touring Seneca Falls can say, let's go visit the place where they have the knitting stuff.
No, unfortunately not at the moment. But we do plan to pay tribute to the workers from that mill within the mm-hmm. walls of the new facility. Obviously, many of the people that worked there were women who were especially Irish and Italian immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really want to make sure we're paying proper tribute to those folks in the new building.
So with this, since I haven't, I'll get up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get up there. So since I haven't seen the building,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is it huge? I mean, is it like just enough to house the Hall of Fame, or is it like, they're going to? It's big enough to.
It's enough for us to properly tell the stories of the women who've been inducted,
okay.
and also do some things that we don't currently have room to do, like host seminars. We turn down a lot of groups who say, we want to come and have our convention there this summer. And so we say, if you have 6 members, come along. we'll also be able to have our own board meetings in the facility. Right now we have them elsewhere. We will be able to have classroom space. We'll be able to have special event space. We'll be able to, right now the plans call for a small theater and a lot, also community space within the walls of the building. We really want this to be a place that the community feels comfortable sharing with us and visiting. We will also have an amphitheater outside.
Oh, that's great. So
yeah. So
that is so cool. So when the hell is this going to be done?
I can't tell you that yet.
When is it, excuse me, projected to be done?
there isn't a projected date yet. We're working in phases.
Uh-huh.
And so right now we're in phase one, which is stabilization and weatherization. It is a historic property. It's on the National Register of Historic Places.
Right.
So that means we have to do some additional things to the buildings and be very careful about how we go about some of those things.
Right.
And so given the economic climate, we're really trying to be prudent and break it into three pieces. So the first is the weatherization and stabilization. The second will be a lot of mortar repair on the outside. And the third will be our interior build out.
Right. So, I mean, so you don't know whether we're looking like a year or 2 years or things like that? Or...
I think it's safe to say it'll probably be closer maybe to the five-year mark.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of it depends on our fundraising. Obviously, if any of your listeners want to write us a huge check today, it will speed things up.
Oh, yeah. But I'm still trying to get them to write a huge check for the New York Sharks.
I know. But we're really looking forward to being able to properly tell the stories of our inductees. We also have many, many artifacts that belonged to women who've been inducted,
mm-hmm.
and we only ever have room to display a few of them at a time.
Yeah.
And we currently don't have temperature-controlled, humidity-controlled environments in which to preserve the very precious artifacts, some of them from the 1800s or earlier.
Yeah. Now, I understand that, here we go, another leading question. I understand that women can still be honored in a different way even if they don't get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Is that true?
How did you know? That is true. We have a great program called the Book of Lives and Legacies. And we began the program because people were nominating a teacher, a mother, a sister, someone who was so instrumental in their own life, but perhaps didn't meet the national criteria for induction. So for $100, people can honor a woman who's been instrumental in their own life.
But there's a sale right now.
There is a sale. I'm going to get to that in just a second.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want to work here, Merle? And we encourage the person doing the honoring to submit some sort of written story about the woman. And that it actually goes in a book here at the Hall of Fame and also goes on our website. But from now through April 30th, we are discounting the price to $75 from its original $100 and running a contest called Your Wonder Woman. We want people to send in the story of the woman they're honoring, and we are going to choose the best story and give induction tickets to the winner, both the person
cool.
who submitted the story and the person who is being honored. So they'll get two sets of tickets to our induction weekend in October.
Cool. That's great.
Great. You know, it's great for people that already have everything they need. And if you have someone who doesn't need another tangible thing in their
Tchotchka.
Life, or in their house, yeah. Just don't want to add to the tchotchkes. We did this, my great-aunt turned 100 last year, and we did it for her birthday, and she loved it. We all wrote something about her, and it was just a wonderful way to tell her how much she's meant to us and how important she's been to our family, and people really love the program.
So what happens is they could also view it online, of the letters, if they choose,
right. They don't have to submit a story, but in order to be part of the contest through April 30th, you do have to submit a story.
Right.
About the woman.
But even, I'm saying, when they do it other than the contest,
mm-hmm.
they still don't have to submit a letter.
Nope. It's completely up to the person submitting. And also, the woman they're honoring will receive a one-year membership to the Hall of Fame. So she'll get our newsletters, she'll get notification of our special events, discounts in our gift shop, our physical gift shop and our online gift shop, and free admission to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I understand there's a plaque involved.
There is. We put a plaque on the wall here at the Hall of Fame, and we also give the gift giver a plaque to present to the woman they're honoring. It's great for Mother's Day. It's great for graduation.
Oh, yeah.
all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's also, you know what, it's great for when, because, you know, when somebody dies and then you go, you know, what could we do or whatever. I mean, that's a fabulous thing to do. I mean, if you think, even for the $100, you get 10 people.
Exactly.
You know,
$10 a person.
Yeah.
We have an organization that every time they retire a president, they honor her in that way.
It's a great thing to do. And if it's not someone in the family, it's a good thing to do when you suck up to your boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. I did one, and when I came across this, I did one interesting thing, because there was a woman, Lucille Cavalos, who pioneered women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were honoring her at a fundraiser for Fins Up Foundation, I said, let me get a hold of some women that she coached and have them email me and give me the information of what they would like to put in the story. And she didn't know when she was getting this, that what it was going to be. So, and of course I copied out the story as well. So when we gave this to her, I mean, this was absolutely wonderful for her to be receiving, not just, not just like somebody in her present, you know, that she's being with now,
mm-hmm.
but people from her past who remember her and why they remember her. And so that's a pretty cool thing to do. Like when someone's having a fundraiser, just it's worth it to honor somebody there. You know.
Yeah, we have over 1,000 of them now.
Wow, that's it,
and
huh?
So our new home will also give us room to properly display all of those plaques.
So you have 1,000 plaques up right now.
We have many of them. We rotate them, actually, due to our space constraints.
Okay, I thought so. I remembered seeing this space area that had plaques, and when you said over 1,000, I was thinking,
we will shortly be going to the Sistine Chapel method of display, which would be hanging things from the ceiling or utilizing our restrooms.
Ah.
No, I'm kidding.
I see. I can do that. I could just picture that hanging from the ceiling and one of the pigeons coming back and saying, I'll get you and your little dog too.
Well, there aren't pigeons in our current location.
No, okay.
We do get an occasional bat or blackbird, however.
Oh, okay. By the way, did you know that the French word for blackbird?
No.
Is merle.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I found that, I went, why in the world did my mother pick that name?
Maybe she was trying to tell you something.
I don't know.
Should we talk a little about the women we're inducting this year?
Yes. We can tell me.
Sorry. I keep coming back. I just wanted to run down the list for
people. Yes, go ahead.
And whet their appetite a little. We're inducting Louise Bourgeois, who is a sculptor from New York. We're inducting Dr. Mildred Cohn, who is a groundbreaking scientist. Karen DeCrow, who was the national president of NOW back in the 70s and a long, long time supporter of women's rights. She's been a wonderful activist on behalf of women throughout her life and co-founded World Women Watch. We're inducting Susan Kelly Dreiss, who founded the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence, a terrific woman named Dr. Allie B. Latimer from the Washington, D.C. area, who's also an attorney and a civil rights activist and humanitarian, Emma Lazarus, whose words, of course, grace the base of the Statue of Liberty, Dr. Ruth Patrick, who was a pioneer in the field of limnology, which, for anyone who doesn't know that, and I had to learn it myself, is the study of freshwater ecosystems.
Okay.
There'll be a test later.
All right. Wait.
Rebecca Talbot Perkins,
who started
one of the country's first adoption agencies. Dr. Susan Solomon, who's doing groundbreaking work with the ozone hole and chlorofluorocarbons. And a historic figure named Kate Stoneman, who was the first woman to graduate Albany Law School and the first woman admitted to practice law in New York State. So it's a pretty wide-ranging list.
Oh, sure.
Including lots of areas of accomplishment, something for everybody in that list. We're especially pleased that we're including another artist in the Hall of Fame with Louise Bourgeois. We don't have a lot of artists, so we don't have a lot of visual artists, I should say. We have many writers, but not too many painters, sculptors, dancers, singers. So we hope all your listeners want to come October 10th and 11th to our induction ceremony.
Now, where's the, in terms of getting there, whatever, what's the nearest airport or where would they fly into?
You can fly into Syracuse or Rochester. We're about 1 hour from either of those locations, and we're located in the heart of the Finger Lakes region. So beautiful time of year to visit us. The leaves are changing. All the wineries are open and welcome your business. And, of course, there's all kinds of women's history in this region of New York State. Susan B. Anthony lived in Rochester. Elizabeth Cady Stanton lived here in Seneca Falls. Harriet Tubman lived the latter half of her life in Auburn, New York, which is about 15 minutes away. So it's a hotbed of history.
Did you know that Susan B. Anthony was a New York Sharks fan? I have a photo of her wearing a New York Sharks cap.
Pardon?
I have a photo of her wearing a New York Sharks cap.
Oh. Huh.
I wonder if somebody put it there on purpose.
They must have. It wasn't me.
Anyway. Let's see what antics I can pull up in Seneca Falls while I'm there.
You should round up a bunch of people and come up for induction.
Well, I'm going to see what. Yeah, I'm going to see what we can do. If I'm not on a press trip, I mean,
yeah.
I had to turn down going to a New York Sharks game for going to Italy.
Oh.
And I chose Italy. You know, I just had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we have. Wait a second. Let me see who I have. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I have Lee. Do I have Lee by any chance?
No, you have Bonnie Vaughn from Seneca Falls.
So Lee didn't call in.
Oh.
I did
what I was supposed to do, Merle.
You're the only one who's
and
doing
Bonnie.
What,
and
no,
Bonnie.
And Bonnie. Because we didn't get to talk about, we're going to talk just a little bit, since Lee's not calling in, can we just basically say what the, between the two of you, I'm sure you know, about what the Women's Rights National Park, what it is?
Sure.
Absolutely.
They are part of the National Park Service. So they're a National Park Service site here in Seneca Falls. And one of the things they do is preserve the sites that were instrumental and connected to that 1848 convention, including the Wesleyan Chapel, which is where that convention was held. Many people think that the National Women's Hall of Fame and the Women's Rights National Historic Park are partners or are somehow affiliated. And although we're not officially affiliated, we do work together as much as possible because we have a lot of shared mission and shared stories. So we really look forward to partnering with them on as many initiatives as we can.
So, and there's like more than one build. There's a few, there's also like a few buildings and I think a home or somebody's home or something.
Several homes, including Elizabeth Cady Stanton's home here in Seneca Falls, and then two homes in Waterloo that belonged to organizers of that first convention, and that's the Hunt home and the McClintock home.
And so, there's one like dedicated building itself that has most of the exhibits and the, what is it, is it something, the wall, the...
Right, that's their visitor center,
mm-hmm.
and they have a theater and a film you can watch, as well as a wall that the Declaration of Sentiments is carved into. And then there's water running over that wall when the weather permits.
And what is the Declaration of Sentiments, by the way?
It's the document that came out of that convention in 1848, basically asking for the things discussed at the convention, including women being granted the right to vote.
Ah, okay. So it's kind of like the Declaration of Independence, but...
It is modeled on the Declaration of
Independence. Yeah, modeled under that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, now let's go into talking. Do you want to hang? Chris, you want to hang while we go into about It's a Wonderful Life?
I'll listen to some of that. Sure. I have to hang up in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Happy to listen to Bonnie.
Okay. So what is this all about? What's it all about, Bonnie?
Well, it's about our belief that Seneca Falls was the prototype that Frank Capra used when he was given the screen a play for It's a Wonderful Life. He had relatives in Auburn. He had friends in Waterloo. And so he would make this trip from Waterloo through Seneca Falls to Auburn a number of times every year. And one year he stopped in Seneca Falls for a haircut, and he stopped at our resident barber at the time, who was Tommy Bellissima, who, by the way, is still alive, and whenever he gets an opportunity, still tells the story of how Frank Capra came into his shop, got a haircut. They were both Italian immigrants. They both were speaking of the old country. And Frank Capra said to Tom, what a beautiful name Bellissima is. It means the beautiful one. And Tommy said, I had to change the subject because I could not return the compliment in kind, because Capra means goat. And so Frank Capra went on his way to Auburn, and a few months later, Tommy was walking home from the barbershop and had to walk past the theater and looked in the window, and there was a huge poster in there saying, "Coming soon, Frank Capra, Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed." And that was the first indication that he had of whose hair he had cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Frank, we believe, when he was here, you know, looked at Seneca Falls and said, this is, once he got the screenplay, this is what I want to base Bedford Falls on. We have the bridge is an exact replica of the bridge in the movie. We have the median, at one point, we had the median through the center of our main street. We had the movie theater. We did have a Bailey's Bank. We had a number of things that were so much like Bedford Falls. And the very first time that Carolyn Grimes, who played Zuzu in the movie, came to us, she said, "It's like coming home."
Mm.
So that was enough for us.
So, And what do you think? Do you think it looks like Bedford Falls?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Chris will agree with me that it's magical at that time of year here in Seneca Falls. It's a beautiful place to visit any time of year, but it takes on a certain magic that weekend in December. And this year will be especially magical because our beautiful historical old hotel that has been empty for a number of years will open this summer, and it will be named the Hotel Clarence. We're very excited about that. They have bought into the whole Bedford Falls theme. They have done wonders within the hotel. It will be a 5-star hotel and spa. And they've just totally bought into to Bedford Falls, to the extent that they made an offshoot company of their company when they decided to buy the building, and they named that company Bedford Falls Enterprises, Inc.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it is cool. It's very cool. And we have just been told, we had about 2-3 months ago, about the beginning of January, I received a phone call from a gentleman in Cleveland, Ohio, who had Zuzu appear at his church at Thanksgiving, and he and Carolyn, and I refer to her as both Carolyn and Zuzu, so, you know, not to confuse the listening public.
Right, yeah.
When she appeared, they started talking about the places that she appears and where she's most comfortable and what she does and how she does it, and she started talking to him about Seneca Falls, and he called me, and he said, I want to come and see what it's all about. And I said, well, you're a little late, because the festival is over for a year. And he said, it doesn't make any difference. He said, if it's there, I'll feel it. And he came, and he then gathered a few of his business friends and called us to Ohio, to Cleveland, actually a little town called Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and very quaint, reminded me very much of Seneca Falls. And we there had a press conference announcing the production of a weekly series called Seneca Falls, based on the stories that Carolyn has been given over the years at her many appearances from people who have told her how It's a Wonderful Life has changed their lives for the better. And we have a blog site where they can go on and tell their stories. We have, you know, her site, which is Zuzu.net, and they can go on there and tell their story. SenecaFalls.com, TheRealBedfordFalls.com are another two sites that people can go on, tell their story. One of those stories will be selected for the pilot of this series, and the person who is selected or the family who is selected will receive from the Hotel Clarence an all-expense-paid weekend there with all of the amenities. And so we're very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. When do you expect the hotel to be completed?
The hotel should be open no later than mid-July.
Okay. Then I guess I'll know when I'm coming up there, huh?
After mid-July.
I'll set up a press trip to come up there. That would be a good time.
That would be a great time.
And when you come for induction, and stay there. When you come for induction, you can stay
there. Oh, that's true. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, that's true. I could just make that one trip in October.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And kill two rats with one stone.
Or pigeons.
Or pigeons, yes.
Or crows.
We'll kill two pigeons. Two pigeons with one stone. How about maybe two kill 1,000 pigeons with one stone? Oh, God, I'm going to get so warped with this one. Okay, anyway, let's get back to this thing.
So, Merle, I'm going to sign off.
Okay, you can go.
Okay.
Chris, it was wonderful to listen to you. It's amazing that we are both in the same town and both are so involved and get to talk with each other.
By calling into a radio show. I know. Thanks, Bonnie. It's great to listen to you.
Take care, Chris.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye,
Chris. Thanks for calling in. Yeah. So, this will be really great. That will be a perfect time coming up in October, and I can...
Oh, it's beautiful here in October, and remember that we are right in the middle of wine country.
Uh-huh.
And so there are hundreds of wineries around us. And it's just such a beautiful time here in the Finger Lakes in October. It's beautiful here, as I said before, any time. But fall is my favorite time, and you'll thoroughly enjoy yourself. And the Women's Hall of Fame does a great job with their induction ceremonies.
Yeah.
So you'll thoroughly enjoy that as well.
Oh, sure. It'll be the first time I'll be up there for that. But this is... Yeah, that's. I'll definitely make sure I can go up there in October for this. I'm going to put it on my calendar, and then I got to get in touch with tourism up there and let them take care of everything.
You'll probably go through Fred Gaffney, who is our executive director at the Chamber of Commerce, and they're wonderful people. They work with tourism all the time, of course, and they'll be delighted to receive you.
Okay, that'd be really cool. So we don't know when this. So just we're first dealing with the contest regarding this the show, right?
Right. The show is. I spoke with Bob Fruchter from Ohio on Monday or Tuesday of this week, and he said to look for a fall 2010 premiere show.
Oh. Cool.
So it takes a while, you know. It takes a while to do the filming, to get the funding, to the idea has already been sold. So, you know, this is a feel good. It's a mixture of Touched by an Angel with maybe a little Murder, She Wrote. You know, the type of person that Angela Lansbury played.
Right.
All put together, you know, thrown together, shaken up, and what you get out of that is Seneca Falls. And
now, are they going to use people from Seneca Falls in the show?
They're going to do some filming here, and I'm sure that there'll be some extras, who will be Seneca Falls natives. Carolyn, of course, will play a major part because she will be she'll be the host of the show. She'll take on that persona that Angela Lansbury.
Right,
does, we're delighted. We're delighted about what it's going to do for the community and the county, how it's going to help tourism. It'll help the businesses. It's just a great thing to have happened. And, you know, when this first began, when we first started to expand this festival, we had 13 people at our first It's a Wonderful Life dinner. And in the last 6 years since I've been president, we have now gotten to the point where we've had to have a taste of Bedford Falls instead of a sit-down dinner where people come through, the restaurants participate, everybody is at one venue, and the restaurants bring in samples of their food. We served 300 people last year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's it grows and grows every year, and it seems to do that pretty much by itself. It's as I said, it's magical.
Is it now? I know. Is it any particular date that
It is always. Yeah. Always the second weekend in December.
In December. Okay.
And it begins on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, Carolyn signs autographs, and as well as Friday afternoon, and then we have a parade in the winter. That comes down Fall Street, which is our main street in the village, and there's fire trucks, and there's floats, and there's people bringing their dogs to walk in the parade. There's people lined up on the sidewalks yelling Merry Christmas. We end that parade in our little village park with a bonfire and Christmas caroling, and then head over to our community center, and this is all within walking distance, for a preview of the movie, and Carolyn does some outtakes of the movie. She does some things that you'd never notice in the movie until after she's showed them to you and told you about them. And that's it for Friday. And then Saturday morning, it all begins again. She begins signing. We have the George Bailey. We have an award that we give out every year called the George Bailey Award, and it goes to a person who is voted on by the community. It's all done by a committee who reviews letters that are sent to them, nominating someone from the community who most emulates what George Bailey was about, doing the right thing because it was the right thing to do without seeking any glory. And so that award is given out at 10 o'clock, and then Carolyn begins signing, and we have free horse and buggy rides. The American Legion puts on an old-time canteen, like a USO canteen, because it always falls so close to, you know, the Pearl Harbor day.
Right.
And we have train rides that, about an hour train ride. Santa Claus is on the train. We have a North Pole with Santa and free pictures for the kiddies with Santa. And we have a chili cook-off. So that every merchant in town who is usually running the movie in his shop, his or her shop, has chili to be tasted, and it's voted on by putting money in a jar in each particular shop, and the jar that comes up with the most money wins the prize. We also have a window decorating contest, and the window that most emulates a scene from the movie wins the prize. We have a dance after the Taste of Bedford Falls. We bring in.
Oh, so you have somebody, like somebody can do a scene from there, and enter. So I can imagine. How many people do a monologue versus?
No, it's the window dressing is actually just that, window dressing. It's a decoration in the window.
Oh, it's a decoration as opposed to somebody acting out.
We have reenactors that come in on Saturday. They did this year. This was our first year to have the actors come in and do vignettes of the movie, and it was amazing. It went over beautifully. And we also had a wedding on the bridge, on the George Bailey Bridge this year. First time ever we've had a wedding there during It's a Wonderful Life. And it was a young couple who had eloped from Ohio and got married on the bridge. And we have, as I said, we have a big dance Saturday night, and that's with a big band sound. You know, they play all the music from that particular era, and it's held, of course, where else but in the gym. And and it's great. I mean, it's the people just are, they're so different at this time of year. They come from everywhere. We've had people from Germany. We've had people from Canada, from California, from Wisconsin, from all over the United States. And they're thrilled to be there, regardless of how bad the weather is. You know, it doesn't seem to make a difference. And then this year is the first year we'll have Carolyn stay over on Sunday, and we're going to do brunch with Carolyn at the Hotel Clarence. And it's going to be pretty exciting, I think. Each year we try to kick it up a notch.
Has anybody ever jumped off the bridge?
No. We thought the bridegroom might, and so we chose as his best man the police chief in town, who kept a strong arm on him.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if anybody thought, I'll relive it and see what happens if I jump off.
It's a little chilly.
Yeah.
You know, the movie was filmed in July and August, and so, you know, as cold as it may have looked, and
right.
We were all bundled in winter clothing, it was extremely warm. So jumping off the bridge at that time of year probably didn't have the impact that it would in December.
I bet, yeah. But I do remember having coming into town, like, I don't know, it was many years ago. I remember, like, seeing the bridge, you know, but it didn't go over to it. I remember seeing that. But I'm definitely going to come in October. So, we got to, so I got to get a hold of, Fred Gaffney is what his position
is? The executive director of the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, yeah, because I'll get in touch with him.
And they are in charge of tourism, so that would be the person to contact.
Okay, yeah.
And you do know, Merle, you know that many, many years ago when the canal was being built here, it was in 1917, that a young man did lose his life jumping off the bridge.
Really?
Yes, he and his father had come over from Italy. His name was Antonio Baricelli. And he was coming home from work one day and walking across the bridge. And as he was coming across, he looked down and saw a girl who was trying to commit suicide. And he dove off the bridge. He saved her life but lost his own.
Oh, wow.
And there is a plaque on the bridge that honors him to one who gave so much. So, you know, there's so many things that tie us to this movie, so many, many things that make Seneca Falls Bedford Falls. And aside from the fact that, and I've only been in Seneca Falls for 11 years, it is definitely a wonderful life here all year long. It's a wonderful place to live. The people here are amazing people. It's truly wonderful. It truly is Bedford Falls.
And it has that, I can't think what they call it, the middle of the road. The middle of the street that
it is old time. It's Americana,
right?
It is downtown, small town, downtown Americana. And even though, you know, we are up to the minute, there's just that feeling of stepping back in time.
Well, I can't wait till October.
We can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I'm a hoot, by the way. Well, you.
I think you are. Yes. Well, that's okay. We can have a hoot together.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think this will really be great. I could probably I don't know if I can actually do the show right from the Hall of Fame. That's one possibility. Or do the show right from the Hotel Clarence.
The Hotel Clarence. If you will find out when it is you're coming in and let me know, I will be happy to talk with Jake McKenna and Joaquim Olin, who are the owners of the hotel.
Well, I would like to I'd like to aim to come up there for the induction.
Okay.
And of course,
the induction weekend it is.
Yeah, because I would like to do that, and then I'll also, of course, and I also write. You know that I'm a writer as well. I think I did something. I have something. I'll email you because I have
Great.
To write something for one of the publications, and it's in there. You know, so. A little thing on Seneca Falls, so it's in there already.
Great!
You know, there's a lot more to write, and I think this is kind of cool. I had something a number of years ago about when I had taken a kind of a quick trip. I did like from Rochester and then Seneca Falls, and then did some of the wine country there. So I didn't really
it's beautiful,
get.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's nice. I mean, the drive is nice. You know, I mean, what I recommend is make sure you eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. I was promised some grape pie.
Oh, grape pie, yes. That's a big seller up here during wine season.
Yeah, and I'm hopefully
well,
I want to
make sure that you get some grape pie when you come up.
Well, I was kind of wondering if anybody does grape pie with white grapes.
You know, I've not seen a grape pie done with white grapes, but I can't imagine why you couldn't do grape pie with white grapes.
Oh, okay. Only because I have an allergy to red wine.
Ah. Well, let me see. I have a number of friends within the wineries. Let me see if I can't find out if they could do a grape pie with white grapes. I'll tell you what. I will take you to Three Brothers Winery, which is one of our newest wineries.
Mm-hmm.
And Swedish Hill is another. I mean, there's just I couldn't name them all, and they're all wonderful.
Sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do them all in one day because
I know, yeah.
You know, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I think I did one lake. No, I did one and a half lakes, I think. Just, you know, touring wise. When I had gotten up there, somebody from tourism took me around, and so we stopped at a number of places.
Would it have been Mokach?
You know, I don't know because this was the years go by quickly. I could say it was like 2 years ago, and then I could look and say, oh, no, it was 10 years ago. You know.
Well, if it was 10 years ago, it might have been Maureen Koch.
That's
who
a
was
possibility.
Then head of tourism.
That's a possibility because I know I went, I did Rochester, and then somebody, you know, I was driven into Seneca Falls to be handed to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what happened, but yes, definitely. I would like to come up there if you could, you know,
keep
whatever.
Keep me apprised of your arrival date and give yourself enough time so that you have a day to do a couple of the wineries.
Oh sure, yeah. I'm not going to do
And I'll make sure that my husband and I will escort you to a few.
Okay, that would be absolutely fabulous. I'm looking forward to it and taking a lot
me
of
too.
Photos and YouTubing.
Yes,
when I come up there, I'm going to YouTube.
We have a blog on YouTube for It's a Wonderful Life. So you might want to check that out.
Right. But I want to do YouTube, like, showing places there to say, see, and there's this, and there's this, and this.
Yep, exactly.
Right. So that's great. I'm looking forward. And I thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for contacting me.
Yeah, and we'll continue this all, and hopefully we'll all have a wonderful life.
We will.
Okay.
Thanks, Merle.
All right. You're very welcome.
Have a great day.
You too,
bye-bye.
Bonnie. Bye-bye. Yep. That'll be really cool to do, huh? I'm looking forward to going up there, so I guess I'm going to aim for October to go up there. I won't have to worry. Nothing having to do with the New York Sharks will be happening, so no conflict with that. In the meantime, I'm going to end a little early. Two people didn't call in. I'm not sure what the problem is in communication. One of them said, I thought you were going to call me. And I don't know. Anyway, so, have a great day, evening, or whatever, everybody. And tune in next week, the next Thursday, for my usual show that I'll be on from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And this is Merle Exit bidding everybody a day. You know, good day. Well, we should all have a good day. Okay. Ta-ta.